So that's what we're looking at. I'm going to read the scripture now. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 1. Last week we looked at Pentecost chapter 2 because it was Pentecost Sunday. But I don't want to miss where the church was right before Pentecost. So we're going to spend 2 weeks in that, which what are the ingredients for God's guidance? And I'm using ingredients because unlike cooking, if you're baking something, put up that picture of Duff there, John, or Jeff. You ever watch Ace of Cakes? Anybody? That's Duff. Well, if you are baking something, it's chemistry. If you get one ingredient wrong, it'll be a hot mess, literally, and it won't taste good. Well, if you get one of these three ingredients wrong, we cannot expect God to guide us and lead us where he's created us to be. And that's the message. And then next week, what do you do with Judas? I mean, what do you do when one of the 12 goes haywire? And that is relevant for today. All right, so that's what's coming ahead. But now let's look at Acts chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12, and we'll finish that next week. And please do be prepared if you'd like to share a word of encouragement with the body. Once again, this is volume 2 of Dr. Luke's books. The first one has to do with what Jesus did while he was walking with them. This one has to do with how the gospel has been transferred from the responsibility of Jesus preaching it and telling disciples to the disciples embracing it and taking it to the ends of the earth. So we are now in the same place as the early church. We are between Pentecost and Parousia, where Christ comes back. That's where we are. In my first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" By the way, that's a political statement. Sitting there going, "Okay, God, so you're going to be the president, right? So, you know, Jesus, you're going to be president and you're going to kick the Romans out." And it just shows how they still didn't understand it. So we're in good company, I think, at times. "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." And here's the verse that outlines Acts. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Cloud representing what? Presence of God. Right? We see that all through the scriptures. "And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? There's work to be done.'" My little addition. "This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away, about 3/4 mile. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room, and they were staying, Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James. All of these, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his holy word. P.N., take it away. How often do you look at your life and the circumstances that you find yourself in and go, God, I just want you to fax me, like, what's next? Anybody there? Or, on the other side, you have the fear of missing out, FOMO. Anybody ever have that? I have, right? You know, I'm gonna miss out somehow, right? How often do we want to control the circumstances in our lives? Any control enthusiasts here aside from me, right? We want to control everything. How about the fear of, man, what if I don't live out my purpose? And what if I miss it? And I look back in my life with great regret. What about that one? And for sure, we will look back and say, I wish I had done that differently and this differently. But here is where this is such a wonderful truth. If we follow the ingredients for God's guidance, we will look back on our lives and we will say one word. Cool. That's what it is, for real. And not only looking back on our lives and saying cool, because we have transferred the stress of it all into the hands of God. And we say, Lord, this is your show. And I'm willing to do whatever you're asking me to do, but this is your program. Either I am trusting you or I am not. And then when we make that shift, something dramatic happens. And it happens to me 4 to 7 times a week, where I'm able to transfer my anxiety and other stuff into the hands of God, and I just go, you've got this. And I'm able to look backwards and say, wow, you always have had it. And you have a proven track record, Lord. And I'm not so special that I'm going to be the first person who has followed you that you're going to let down and violate your character. I'm an ordinary follower of Christ, trusting that as I embrace what he is leading, what he is saying, and as I do it the very best I can with wonderful brothers and sisters in Christ, as I prayerfully consider it, I can look and put up Duff there again. I can look and I could say, I'm not going to look like Duff. Well, maybe I will a little bit, although he'd have to have white there. My life is gonna turn out as he designed. I think I could almost stop there, and we could probably go home, or we could have some testimonies and go home. That is the gospel truth, that if we trust God with our lives, he will make it out. He will make it turn out as he designed. And the more we trust him and the more we hear what he says and follow what he says, the more blessed our life will be. And I'm not talking about like Rolls Royces and Bentleys and stuff like that. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I am talking about, you look back and you go, we are living the life. And that's why people in third world countries that embrace Christ are just like us, same relationship, same God, same gospel. And they go, wow, I'm rich. Remember this guy named George in Indonesia saying something like that. He lived on like $5 a month. And one of the Indonesians said, I don't know how he does it. He just lives on brown rice. But he is just enamored with how good God is. So what are those ingredients? Let's take a look. And there's three of them. And the three ingredients of God's guidance are obeying whatever he says, being unified together, being unified as a body, and being prayerful. It's so simple, it's almost embarrassing. But let's take a close look, because living it out is not as simple as we think. Well, it is as simple as we think. We just don't do it to varying degrees. Ingredient number one, we go back to the beginning of Acts chapter 1. We read this before, and you heard me emphasize these words. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus had given commands. Oh, I'm not sure if that's allowed in modern day language anymore. What do you mean? You're commanding me to do what? You're not the boss of me. Therein lies the problem. Either God is the boss of me, or I'm the boss of me. And if I'm the boss of me, it ain't going to end well. I could ask for testimonies on this, and we'd be here all afternoon. He'd given him commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. And if you are here today and you're a follower of Christ, he chose you too. And he goes on in verse 4, he ordered them. Well, what do you mean he ordered them? Who does he think? He's the king? Yes. Is he a tyrant? No. He's a parent, a loving God who cares so much about you that he says, if you will just trust me, if you will just embrace what I am telling you, I will show you how I'm going to navigate you through that narrow path with ravines on each side, how the enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil will oppose you, but I will make a path through the wilderness for you. And if you follow me, if you dare to follow me, you follow my commands and you obey me, you will reach the place that I have for you. And this is what gets me excited, and you'll take many people with you. That's my life statement, by the way. Go to heaven and take as many people with me as possible. End of story. That's what I live for. And so he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the what? What's it say, the what? Wait for the promise of the Father. He's promising us himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to miss that. And we miss that when we don't obey. We miss that when we're disunified. And all of us have potential. Amen. We're Americans. We're individualistic. And all of us have potential to be prayerless. And so the first point is if we obey. So look at how this is. We hear this all through John's gospel. The word is abide or remain in me. If you want to be a smart person, say meno. Say meno. Now you know the Greek word for remaining. It's meno. If you abide in me, if you stay connected to the vine, you won't shrivel up like some dried up grape turning into a raisin. Rather, you'll be full of life that comes from me. If you remain in me, what does it look like? John chapter 3, verses 24, it says, whoever keeps his commands and abides in God and God in him, and by this we will know that he is in us, and by the Spirit whom he has given us. So we look at Acts chapter 1, and I'm just going to refer to this, verse 12, it says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey, about 3/4 mile. So what's going on here is they have witnessed the crucifixion. They were disillusioned. They were discouraged. Then all of a sudden, the resurrection happens, and they're seeing Jesus periodically showing up. Every single one of them, maybe with the exception of John, has deserted them. Even Peter, the rock, who I'll never leave you. Well, we know the story. And now they're trying to figure out, what do? The Romans are still there. The Jewish leaders are there opposing them. There's a lot of fear going on. But Jesus blesses them as he ascends and says, wait for the promise. Well, why don't we just go our separate ways? We can wait for the promise individualistically, right? No, we'll get to that. That's not what he says. They're waiting together. And so we see this as not just being hearers of the word, but being doers of the word. As James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word, not just hearers only, and so deceiving yourself. So when we have Bible studies here, what do we try to find out? What does the word say? What does the word mean? And then what's the last point? Nancy helped them to understand. What's the most important thing? What? Well, love, that is true. But actually applying it, right? Love in action. Amen? So it's not just, well, yeah, that's interesting. I wonder when exactly Christ is coming back. Or, yeah, that is interesting. I wonder, you know, how you know, who is Melchizedek? You know, all this sort of stuff like that. But no, here's what the word is saying. Here's what it means. Now I'm going to live that. Yes, I believe it. Why is that important? Because if we can't obey what God is expressly writing to us, we can't be led. Do you see that? How many of us are guilty of that? Well, I know this is what the Bible says, but strike that. It negates everything before it. I know what the Bible says, and I'm going to trust him in that. And I'm going to apply that to my life. And so we know this is true. It's almost embarrassing. It sounds like the same message every week, but here's where the rubber meets the road. Because either our focus is on trusting God or it's on trusting ourselves. So the question is, how do we apply what we have learned? How do we, as Nancy said, how do we love God and love people when someone wrongs you? How's that work out for you? Right? What's your immediate reaction? I'll tell you mine in a minute. What's your immediate reaction? How about when you feel hurt when someone hurts you? Someone says a careless word. When someone wrongs you and embarrasses you and hurts your friends or your family. How about when you feel powerless? How do you respond? Man, I just got to get help. You know, look, Lord, I'm not really sure where you are, but the lawyers are here, or this smart guy's there. Have you ever been looking and looking and looking and looking for right people? And there is a place for getting wise counsel. We'll talk about that next. But we can go directly to the source and trust him. How about when you're frustrated? How does that work? Got here, and I had one last page that I wanted to put in, like the application questions. And my computer was black with a little white file folder flashing. And I went, rut-row. I literally picked up my mouse and I wanted to throw it. Aren't you glad I'm your pastor, right? But I didn't. Okay, I went, all right, Lord. Everything is prepared. And I brought Doug a little piece of paper. And Doug sits there and says, what a gift he is. How do you function when you're hurt, when you're not feeling good, when your world isn't going as you should be? How do you respond? Well, I want to show you a picture. This happened Friday night. You see this picture? Isn't that a nice place? That's 255 Rachel Court in Franklin Park, New Jersey. So, and that is a picture of my iPhone, and it actually shows where my family is. So you can track them. So here's how this relates to my life. Some of you who are getting ready Friday night know what was happening. You didn't know what was happening. You're like, what's wrong with him? I'm like frantically, I can't pray now, Paul. You know? My kids, Jennifer, spent 2 hours retracing her steps in the mall looking for her phone. And I'm not sure if it was raining or not, but I'm like, you know, can I just brag on my wife? just a little tiny bit. She almost never thinks about herself. She's usually, I've been here almost 3 years. You know this is true. And she's always doing stuff for other people. She's probably doing stuff for the kids. She's retracing her steps. So finally she goes home. She goes, I can't find my phone. The kids pull it up and they can see the iPhone going north to North Jersey. Someone stole her iPhone. And that's where it is. That's where my iPhone is. So, of course, when Paul's wanting to pray for the outreach, I'm like, I got to call the police. So I call the police, and honestly, here's how, because I'm such a super saint. I'm like 65 miles away. I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to pretend I'm the CIA or something. I don't know what I'm going to do. Or, now, I'm going to say, before I say this, I didn't do it, and I've never done it, and I won't do it. I'm going to have to pay my deductible. I'm going to scratch their car. I would not do that. I have not done it. But is there anybody else who can relate to that? I'm going to make them pay. And I was so mad. And part of it, why? What's going through? If it happened to me, I wouldn't be happy. Because it happened to my wife, I'm like, seriously? Why? And God, why are you allowing this? Seriously? And then the Lord's just saying, Jim, how many weird ways have I provided for you before? I'm like, all right, God. Filed the claim, talked to the cops. The cops went to the door, and they go, yeah. They said, well, we haven't been out of our house all day, right? Linda said, oh, you have their address, and now you can write to them. Now, I'm not sure what we would write, but I think I might do that. Hey, I just want to let you know that God loves you, and I'm concerned for your soul, and I'm just going to leave it there. But how do we respond when life is not going good? Do we take matters in our own hands? Do we lose our peace, lose our joy, maim and harm and destroy our witness, cause disunity in the body because we're freaking out? Or do we say, God, you got this. I want to tell you, as a work in progress, I go through the stages of like, all right, God, I'm trusting you. That's how it goes for me. But I want to tell you that I get to the, all right, God, I'm trusting you. I'm your follower. But I'm a little bit like Peter. What, stick a pin in that, all right? Moving on. But the question is, can you trust God? See, that's what it is. And we say absolutely. But the question is, will we apply? Pastor, is it everything or part of what the word says? Oh, all of it. Nelson says we have to put all of the word of God into place. If we do that, God will bless us. Can we trust him with applying his word to our lives? Because if we don't, then we are being rebels. Just a few points on this. So Peter says, when they're telling him to not talk about God, what do? We have to obey God rather than man. Does that apply to today at all? Oh, you better believe it does. So if someone is saying, you're not allowed to preach the gospel, you're not allowed to do outreach, you're not allowed to fellowship, then you know what we do? We say, I must obey God rather than man. Now, there's a caveat in that. You're going to see Romans 13 in just a minute. And we'll get to that. Let's move on. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13, 17. How do we apply Scripture? Well, God has gifted us with leaders in our body. So my question for you is, first is, are you able to obey the Lord in following Scripture? The second is, do you have anyone who's godly in your life that you put yourself under their care so that they can guide you? You've heard me talk about my friend John Philbrick. I have the elders speak into my life. I listen to any of you because I think you're wise people. Omar, Suresh, you've heard my friend Suresh. Talk to him once a month. These are people that are speaking into my life. So can you obey God's leaders that he has put into your life, or will you allow them to guide you and shape you. It doesn't mean that these leaders are these lords who are, you know, power hungry, little tyrants. It's, think of Pastor Nelson. He's going to tell you the truth, and he's going to do it in a gentle, loving way. And if you're talking to me, so embarrassing as I get older, you might even see tears coming down my face, because that's what God does. His spirit softens us. And as my friend who was a fighter said, why is it when the Holy Spirit comes in your life, it turns you into a total wimp who cries? But they keep watch over your souls. They want you to succeed like a parent does. They want your life to count. They don't want you, as one of my friends used to say, to wreck your life and end up in hell. That's what he used to say about his fear over his children. But the question is, will we trust God by hearing what someone has said and not saying, well, Josh told me to do this, but I don't like what Josh says, so I'm going to ask Joey. Well, I don't like what Joey says, saying the same. I'm going to go to Millie, and I'm going to see Paul, and Paul's saying the same thing. They're all saying the same thing, but I want to find the one person who agrees with me. Anybody ever done that? Don't raise your hand. So we obey God's word, we obey God's leaders, and finally, and this is the one that is so difficult because we have a heritage of no taxation without representation. You tax our tea and we'll dress up like Indians. That's we'll rebel against you, right? We don't like that. So Romans 13, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Oh, what about the masks? I want to tell you, friends, this was hard. Because I know we're one of the churches that required them. We took a firm stance on this. And I don't apologize for that because I can't get around Romans 13. If Wawa and others were saying you don't have to wear masks, then I would be like, hey, we're not doing it either. Right, because the government's if the government is not requiring others around us to wear a mask and they're only requiring us, that's not fair. But if everybody else is, because we feel that's the right appropriate move to curb the spread of a virus, whatever, then we worship God by following them, so long as it doesn't interfere with our faith. I don't apologize for that, but it's not an easy move. So can we follow them? What happens if we don't follow them? I think there's some police, retired police here. What happens if you don't follow the police? Bedlam. You know, I saw there's a video online that shows someone being mugged and they're trying to defund the police. And they say, quick, call 911. The guy's like with a chainsaw walking around. And there's a cop there saying, who do you want to call? Who? You want to call 911 now that it works for you, right? The authorities God has placed over us. Parents, we obey our parents. No one has more of a vested interest in you than your parents and then those that are your family. We obey God's word. We live simple, and we are filled with peace. And so here's the question. Can you trust God to guide you? And in what areas are you able to trust God? Can you trust him for your future and your finances, your job, and the stability of the economy, that he will provide for you no matter what happens? Can you trust him for your family, your social life, your romantic life? Can you trust that God is going to provide for you? Can you trust him with your health concerns and your fitness? Can you trust him for that? Because either we are trusting God in obeying his guidance, his commands, or we are trusting ourselves, and frankly, I wanted to get a little thing with da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, or we're rebels. So I'm not going to trust anyone. You're not the boss of me. So either we can trust God to guide us, or we can't. And that brings us to the next point, and these are shorter. Can we trust God to guide us as a body, a united core? Core being the word for body, a body of Christ. Now, next week we're going to talk about what do you do when someone goes astray? And like a Judas, what do you do? How do you handle that? And how does that affect God's plans? But look what it says in Acts 1:14. They were all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, get on in a minute, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. So they are united together. Last week I went through the outline of Acts based on 1:8. Here's how they're together. Acts 2:26, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Aren't you looking forward to fellowship events? They're coming. They're coming. And when they heard, this is Acts 4:24, and when they heard it, they lifted their voice together and to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, they're worshiping together. Acts 5:12, now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. Acts 15:25, and it seemed good to us, having come together in one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. And Romans chapter 15, which sums it all up, 15:6, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we cannot expect God to guide us if we don't obey what he says. And we cannot expect to have unity and effectiveness if we're not a united body. We're not a church unless enough of us get together to complement the gifts. Do you know what would happen if we didn't have soldiers willing to lay their lives down on the beaches of Omaha and Normandy? We'd be speaking German. Guten Morgen, meine Damen, wie geht's? That's what we'd be saying. Watch this. Show this little clip, and let me show you what it looks like. See if this would intimidate you if you saw this coming. If you're the enemy and you see a regiment of Marines coming at you with that level of discipline and unity, and you're a rogue army, you're going to, I almost said wet your pants. I guess I did. You're going to be running the other direction because you can tell that there is not a way that you're going to easily divide and conquer that level of discipline and unity. You want to know what terrifies the enemy of our soul? The Church of Jesus Christ. Did you hear them cheering? Did you hear them cheering for the Marines doing a silent drill? The world is longing for a church that will live to build each other up and not tear each other down, but say, when one of us suffers, the other suffer. We're in the business of forgiving and reconciling and encouraging, building up and marching and furthering the cause of Christ. Can God guide a unified church? Oh, I believe there is something that happens in that that affects, that resonates with the core of our soul. It's the Church of Jesus Christ functioning together, certainly not that disciplined, but functioning together and extending love and grace to each other and praying together and saying, let's be about the mission of God in our lives and in the lives of those around us. So either we're going to have heaven's unity and health, or we're going to have division. And that brings us to the last point. And the last ingredient is unity. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, standing firm as one in Christ. And I'm realizing that actually this is still point two. I think it says point three in the slide. Doug fixed that. But with one spirit, one mind, striving side by side. Unity for God in loving others, or division for the devil, loving ourselves. I met someone who was reading the Satanic Bible, and I thought it was going to be filled. I've never read it. Yeah, I thought it was going to be filled with spells and all kinds of crazy stuff. It's basically humanism. It's basically just live your life like you care. So either we are unified in following God, or we are divided in following the devil. Last one, ingredient is prayer. Unity with God's people in seeking Him. They devoted themselves to prayer together with the women. So let me bring you back to the cell phone. Pull that slide up there, if you wouldn't mind, Jeff. So after I had processed it all, and I'm grieving, and I'd been to Verizon, and I checked it out, I did this and that and the other thing, and spent a good part of my Saturday trying to solve this, I'm like, I am sorry, Jennifer. She goes, I'm okay. You'll get one on Tuesday. It's okay. And then I went to bed, woke up the next morning. I guess this happened Friday, so Saturday woke up. And we both had the same thought. I'm like, you know what? Maybe God gave us that address so we could pray for them. And I came downstairs, and my wife said, you know, who else is going to be praying for them? I don't know who they are. But I want to tell you, all the and frustration and everything else was gone. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm not sure what you're going to do. And we got a new phone coming. God constantly provides for us in weird, crazy ways. But what an opportunity it is for us to trust Him with our own personal lives, to trust Him as a body of Christ, and to pray together and seek His face. So my question is, will you have prayerful dependence, or will you have proud independence? Most of us, we have to fight that proud independence. Will you go to Him with your concerns to receive strength from Him is the question. And the final questions before we go to testimonies and is, can God lead you? And what area will you allow Him, or are you allowing Him to lead you? Can you trust Him with your family and your relationships? Can you trust Him in that area? And then to what extent? 1 to 10. You can think about that. What about your finances and work? Okay, 1 to 10. What about your future? And to what degree will you trust God to lead you? Lord, as we gather together, hearing what you're doing, brief time, I pray that you'd be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, who'd like to share something? And we'll do this again next week because I realize I've gone a little long. So what's God doing in our lives? Who'd like to share a testimony? Okay, can you bring a mic to Nancy, someone? Do you have one, Nelson? No, because people, Nancy, people are watching from home. Yep. Yeah, she was one of them. So, Nancy Houston.
It is really great. Oh, I do not need a mic. It is really great to be back. I have missed this, but God had that planned. And I say amen to everything Pastor Jim has said today, because this is my testimony. I've watched, what's that thing, live stream. I've watched it. I don't agree with it, because I think it's better to be here.
Oh, 100%. I think we all do. Yeah.
But live stream, I'll take it if you need it. But what I found over these last months is I missed you guys.
Amen.
And here's what I missed. I missed you coming to me, sharing with me, telling me your sorrows, your joys, asking me to pray for you. I really miss that. It wasn't about me. It's about you. I miss that. That's why I said love this morning when you asked me. Because that's the body, full of love, touching each other with needs and prayer requests and joys. And I thank the Lord that this church has done that for me, and I can join in with your prayers and your happiness, and that's been a blessing. So I'm glad to be back. Thank you.
Amen.
Oh, and the music was great today.
Good. All right, one or two others. Raise your hand if you'd like to give a little story, and you'll have opportunity next week too. Going once. Ah. I don't think Kara Albert's going to give one, but good to have her. Ah, Brian. All right. I think that's a good one. Think about it for next week because we're going to do the same thing. It's going to be even shorter because it's the second half. But let's rise and sing the battle hymn of the Republic. And I want you to picture those Marines doing that silent drill. I want you to picture yourselves going out of here filled with God, determined to follow whatever he asks you to do, knowing that you can trust him. Amen?